The Bird Show.
This is the first time I think we've had Evan on, our divorce attorney, this early in the morning.
It is. This is early for me.
how you holding up?
Doing okay.
Doing
Thanks
right?
so much for letting me come in.
Evan's told us he's a night owl, so he's up late, typically not up this quite this early.
Lawyers don't start this early.
What is like when you know, and the phone lines are starting to work their way out right now with calls coming in, but what's the first, generally the first question that somebody has when they sit down with you, very first meeting? What's the first basic question, divorce 101 question?
Do I have to give them half?
Do I have to give them half? Probably. Is that it, really? And what's your answer?
Usually, probably close to half, if not half.
Get ready.
Should that sort of be your expectation when you go in that it's going to be 50%?
In Georgia, it's not a true 50-50 state. But even though that's true, probably 90% of the time, if you go into court, you're going to end up with something around 50-50.
Who was I talking to last week that just found out that their wife was screwing around on them, and they've tried to work it out, and it's not working out. And he was making it sound like that was going to have something to do with the judge in his judgment of the whole thing. And I said, I don't think so, man. We've had Evan in a whole bunch of times, and infidelity really doesn't play a large part in the handling out of cash when it comes to the divorce, right?
It really nowadays has very little to do with the final outcome of stuff in general. In Georgia, still adultery is a bar to alimony if it's the cause of the divorce. So in regards to alimony, it can have an effect. But as far as property division goes, typically it has virtually no effect at all.
All right, we can use the voice disguiser also here. So if you have a question for Evan, our divorce attorney, give us a call right now. We can disguise your voice, 877-588-2378. Ashley is on the voice disguiser. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan, quick question for you. What happens during divorce when you have child support payments that my new husband has to pay his ex-wife and he has just lost his job?
Child support, just like alimony, is modifiable. So you can always go back to court to address changes in circumstance. And if you can prove up to the court that there's been a legitimate change in the financial circumstance, then the court will readjust the child support or alimony, depending on the situation.
Can they take it from my payments? Because I've always been told by the attorneys that child support can't come from the new wife. It can only come from the husband's salary.
It always comes from the parent. The new spouse, that their income has nothing to do with the equation at all.
Okay. So he can call his attorney and say, I just lost my job, and they can go back to court and tell the judge.
Exactly. And it's really important. I see guys in that situation all the time. It's important to get in and do that quick.
Okay.
Guys come into my office, you know, 6 months after losing their job, and they've been trying to hold on and trying to do the right thing and trying to pay child support and going in the hole and falling behind. And by the time they get into court, they're $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 in arrears at that point.
Yeah, and he did this beforehand. He did it for 6 months when he was without a job and paid child support, but then got a job, and now their company is folding. So he has no other choice now. At this point, he's not going to have it.
Yeah, and the best advice I can give him is do it as quickly as possible so he doesn't fall in that hole.
Shanta, good morning. You are on The Burt Show, and you are on with divorce attorney Evan Summerstein.
Hi, Evan.
Good morning.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
I have been divorced for several years. My ex-spouse owes me thousands and thousands of dollars of back child support. And what I'm trying to find out is, do I have to have an attorney to file, or can I file myself for back child support? We had a temporary support. You know, I had temporary support before. It took 2 years to get my divorce. And when does this final settlement, is it the settlement agreement that comes into play, or your final decree as far as when the temporary stops?
The temporary stops at the time of the final decree. So
the final decree. Okay.
Exactly.
I was awarded $12,000 a month, and he owes me that for approximately 25 months.
Okay.
Back. So that's about $280,000.
Oh,
wow. That's a big check.
That's right.
Yeah. Especially to write to somebody you don't like anymore.
Which which Real Housewife are you?
Excuse me? he just walked, you know, and then he owes me for another 3 years after after the settlement. So, you know, that's another $62,000 on top of that.
What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
Evan just said, call me.
Yeah. He wants that money, man.
As far as collecting that goes, though, you can definitely do it on your own. Some counties are easier to do that in others. Fulton County has a great website where they for the family court that they have tons of information online on how to do it yourself. If you go to FultonFamilyDivision.com. If you're talking that kind of money, though, hire an attorney. Make sure you do it right.
Amanda, good morning. You are on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Guys, love the show. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning.
I have a quick question. I gave my ex-husband the house in our settlement. However, he has not paid the mortgage. My name is still on the mortgage. If I filed a quit claim, am I still obligated? Can the bank still take money out of my account?
Yeah,
if he's behind?
I can't tell you how many people now are coming in to see me with that exact same situation where one spouse got the house and now they've lost a job or something because of the economy, they can't pay on the house anymore. If you are, the mortgage and the title to property are two totally different things. So even though you may have signed a quitclaim, that gets you off the title to the property. But if you're still on the mortgage, you are still financially liable for that mortgage.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
So how do you get off the mortgage?
Typically what we do is we require the other spouse to do a refinance. But if they haven't done it, now people are coming in. It's an incredibly common situation. People are coming in. They'd never refinanced. They lost their job now, so they can't refinance. And I don't even know if judges have figured out what to even do about that situation yet.
Hmm. Here is Erica. Good morning, Erica. You are on with Evan Summerstein from Hunter Weinstein & Summerstein, divorce attorney. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was actually calling to find out what Evan thought of the online divorces, whether those are reputable and whether they actually work the way they say they do.
You know, I've seen a number of them, and they totally run the gamut from horrible, horrible to really good. If you are, I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you have a really simple situation. If you have no kids, if you're just splitting your junk up and split the couch and the pots and pans and you each keep your own account, it's probably perfectly fine. What I would still suggest, even if you're going to do that, most attorneys nowadays will let you hire them just for an hour to take a look at your documents and make sure you're doing it right. Great way to save money if it's a really simple situation. If you have kids, there is no question you need to hire an attorney.
What are the percentage of divorces you see that are so easy that they can be done online?
When they walk in the office, they're always really easy.
Yeah. I just think that's such a
first meeting. Half later, they're a bit
now.
More
do you complicate them or do they complicate them?
Probably half the calls I get, people tell me I've got an uncontested divorce. I'm like, oh, okay, great. We haven't figured out what we're doing with the kids yet, and he's got a business. It gets complicated.
I just think that's a funny question to ask an attorney. Well, by the way, attorney that works at a firm, like if I go online, do you think I should go online or should I go in your office? Well, let me think about that for a second.
Here is Evan. Good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love the show. Evan, got a question for you. Do you recommend representing yourself in court if you really just are on your knuckles and don't have the kind of cash to hire an attorney?
As kind of a last ditch effort, I guess. It also depends on what the situation is. I mean, obviously, the more complicated, the better off you are to have an attorney. The more emotional the issues are, the better off you are having an attorney also, so you can kind of step away from it yourself. But if it's your last option, definitely. I mean, the courts see it. I think the numbers now are, I think they said 60 or 70% of family law cases come in front of the court right now because of the economy. People are pro se without an attorney.
No kidding.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the judge respects that person as much? Do you think the judge gives them as much of a fair looking if they're representing themselves? Or do you think that the judge would be like, you know what, you probably should have hired an attorney?
I think every judge candidly, when someone walks in without an attorney, cringes. Because they know, okay, they're going to tell me it's going to take 5 minutes. 3 hours later, we're still going to be sitting here discussing the pots and pans.
I object, sir. That's not really, you can't really object to somebody being sworn in.
Bingo! No, sir.
No.
I'd like to file a motion and charge you with contempt.
What?
No, there's an M in that, but don't worry about it.
Good morning. Nikki wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Hi. This is basically, is it cheaper to keep him? Quickly, he's been unemployed for a while, and we have two children. My youngest has not been in school, so he keeps him at home. It's been tough. I've tried to do marriage counseling. He won't participate.
What's your question, Nikki?
I'm working. I know there's a new equation for income. He has none, and I have a lot. So am I going to end up paying lots of alimony or any alimony because he's not been working, even though I want him to get a job, is it cheaper to keep him?
How long has he been not working?
He's been totally unemployed for 3.5 years.
Okay.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, the concept, this idea of kind of long-term alimony is slowly dying out because it doesn't really match the situation in the world so much anymore. What you see nowadays more likely is what's called rehabilitative alimony, which is kind of just to help someone get on their feet and get a job and get an apartment and kind of move forward that way. So even if it's a situation where you'd be paying some kind of support, it's probably going to be more short-term than long-term.
Is it like a sunset clause where it dies off after time?
Yeah, usually real common to see alimony slow every year will reduce until it totally disappears.
Mm-hmm. Diminishing returns.
So say you are like a real housewife of, New Jersey or something like that. And you say that like, I have
you got to use a New Jersey accent.
I don't know how to do that one.
That's your snuggie. And you're getting your 12 G's a month.
Whatever it is. But you say, I'm accustomed to this lifestyle, and they drive Bentleys and they have diamonds dripping everywhere and whatever it is that they do. If they get divorced, they can't get alimony because it would disrupt their lifestyle, right? Like that doesn't really apply anymore.
Well, first of all, I ask my clients, please don't wear your dripping diamonds to court because that doesn't impress the judge so much.
right.
Yeah, I mean, lifestyle does have something to do with the equation. And,
it does.
And everyone's a little different. If you walk in and one spouse is making $50,000 a year, obviously they're going to pay less than if someone's making $500,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So it does have some effect on it. But that concept of coming in and arguing, I need to maintain my same lifestyle, I don't think that really works so much anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take one more call here. Good morning, Susan. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi. I had a question. My ex is in direct violation of our divorce papers by having a girlfriend spend the night constantly while my daughter is there. My question is, if I file a contempt of court order against him, number one, could I ask that he pay my legal fees? And number two, is it likely that a judge would remove that from our divorce papers?
When you file contempt, you always have the right to ask for attorney's fees, more or less, in family law situations. There are some situations where you can't, but a lot of times you can. The best opportunity you ever have for the judge to reimburse you for your attorney's fees is contempt, because your argument is, I wouldn't be here if he wasn't messing up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if the court does find that he's violated the order, there's a very good chance that the judge would make him pay your attorney's fees for you. And no, a judge can't actually change that in a contempt hearing. At a contempt hearing, they're not allowed to change the decree. They're only allowed to enforce it.
Evan, this is always a lot of laughs. Thanks. I appreciate you.
It's really good info, though. People need it.
I mean, seriously, the phone lines. You know? I mean, we could do this for the next 3 hours, unfortunately, if you want to know more about Evan or you want some answers to some of the questions you have about divorce, we have a link on over to his website at theburtshow.com. Thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
I think we're doing a segment with producer Joanna next, so you may want to stick around.
They're not married yet.
Just saying.
The Burt Show.